This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants to help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Radio Call-In Show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:03 on your Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in for us. We got a whole week of solid sports radio conversations coming your way right here on Fan Run Radio as we're getting down to it, man. Media days last week. This is the last kind of little, I don't say dead period, I mean, because obviously with the conference expansion, we've got a lot going on here in your world of college football. But the last, you know, kind of, we got 2 weeks or so until practice heats up. Maybe less than that. I don't know what it is. It's like 2 weeks from Wednesday or something like that. That you can start practicing, and it's right here. Can we get Bear juiced up? Bear, where are you at, buddy? Talk to me. There he is.
It's a week from Wednesday.
A week from Wednesday. Unbelievable.
August the 4th.
That's fantastic. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Don't have anything better going on.
Let's do this hypo thing. Let's try another coach. I keep telling people, what if he doesn't work out? Oh, fire him and go get another one. We've been doing it for 12 years. What if Derek Dooley doesn't fire? Then we'll go try somebody else. What if Butch Jones doesn't work? We'll go try somebody else. What if Jeremy Pruitt doesn't get, or we'll try somebody else. Is Heupel going to work? I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. If he doesn't, what are we going to do, Bear?
Fire him and move on.
Throw him in the gutter. Go get another. It's what we do. It's what we do. And, yeah, why not? And we're all pulling for him, man. We all hope it works out. And guess what? Guess what? Now we're going to be making an extra $5 or $6 million a year, even more than we thought we were going to be. So there's a little buyout money in case we have to can this dude or Danny White and or Danny White.
Oh, I can't wait.
And I'll say this because we are forward-thinking people here. And if, in the event, we have to fire Josh Heupel, we always have this conversation, right, Bear? This is a conversation that Dave Serrano introduced to the East Tennessee airwaves. Remember when we had Serrano and it was like 3 or 4 years in and it was looking like it wasn't going to work out? And right. We said, you know, if this doesn't work out, man, we're not going to hammer this guy the way we did, you know, Dooley or Buzz Peterson, or, you know, we do that thing we're doing with Pruitt right now where we, anything that goes wrong for the next year or two, we're just going to blame on him.
Right.
He's a convenient scapegoat. He introduced that conversation and we said it back in 2017, 2018, right? You and I had this conversation, man, if this Pruitt guy doesn't work out, we are going to unleash sports radio wrath, the likes of which we've never – I mean, you thought the Dooley and Butch treatment was bad. It's going to be worse for Pruitt. I don't think – you know, I don't think it'll be that bad on old Josh Heupel. If he doesn't work out, it's like, it's not his fault. We were in a tough spot. We had to run out an athletics director of the program. The entire thing was crumbling, and he was the only guy with a pulse that would take the job. If he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. But let's not live in our fears, folks. Let's live in our hopes. This is not a good way to start
but
the week.
Now, I will say Danny White is not in that category.
Oh, yeah. He'll be It's funny.
We'll unleash hell on his ass.
Kind of already are, aren't we?
Oh, I'm to the point where I can't wait.
He's a hard guy to like, man. He's not unlikable. It's just, I'm trying, man. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and get in his corner. It's just hard.
He did thank a guy for his service earlier.
He did?
He did. Medal of Honor recipient.
Well, that's good.
That's awfully easy to do there.
Well, trust me, I know.
How are you going to not? How are you going
to
not?
You got to be a real piece of work to botch the properly honoring a veteran card. I mean, it can be done, but
it can be done.
Let's not let's not set the bar there, right? Let's not set the bar there. So, the sport of college football continues to devour itself. Who knows what we're going to be left over when it finishes regurgitating whatever's happening right now with it. Matt Hayes, who is on the list. I don't know who he's with.
Refresh my memory on him.
I don't know. He's on the list. He took shots in 2017. The list is the list. He's on it.
We haven't had a reading of that list in a long time.
We haven't. Should I do that first before we get started here?
Absolutely.
All right. Give me a second. It's way down in my notes, past the list of awesome things Bear hates. There it is, the list. Ready?
Hit it.
Pete Thamel, Dennis Dodd, Doug Gottlieb, Dan Wilkins, Stephen A. Smith, Tim Brando, Seth Davis, Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty, Joel Klatkirk, Herb Street, Gary Parrish, Peter King, Booger McFarlane, Brett McMurphy, Dana O'Neill, and Matt Hayes can all suck it. It's the list. And it is
Matt Hayes. Let me look him up real quick here, Russ. Matt Hayes.
Anyway.
You did say Dan Wilkins always first, right?
Duh. Yeah, I mean. Matt Hayes reports that the expectation is for Texas and Oklahoma to play in the SEC in 2022, next year.
Huh. Oh, I remember this guy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his picture now.
Looks like the kind of guy that would be on the list, doesn't he?
Hey, looks like Pruitt's cousin.
So, Texas and Oklahoma, everybody wonders, are they going to have to wait till the end of 2024, 2025? I found this interesting, this report off the Texas Rivals site over the weekend, that essentially Texas and OU are hoping, they're hoping and counting on chaos taking place from here on out, and that all the other schools in the Big 12 are being forced to fend for themselves, essentially, and that that's going to open the doors for the league to pretty much just dissolve organically. And that would allow the Longhorns and Sooners to enter the SEC before 2025 when their current rights deal. That's what happened. They're just sitting back right now and watching the chaos unfold. Kansas is trying to get into the Big Ten. It sounds like the Texas school, Baylor's trying to get into the Big 12 right now. West Virginia's trying to get into the ACC. And everybody else is just searching for life rafts. And once two or three of those moves happen, at that point, the Big 12 pretty much ceases to exist, right?
Yeah.
And so everybody's wondering, oh, man, they're going to have to pay some sort of penalty to get out of it. To get out of what? If the other schools bolt at that point and Bob Boolsby is just sitting there with Iowa State and TCU, he doesn't have much of a league to protect at that point anyway. I think that's an interesting part to all this is Texas and Oklahoma have clearly made up their minds. They want to get in the SEC. They're not saying much about it. They're just sitting back with their arms folded. Apparently they politely took a meeting with the Big 12 in which they rather pathetically offered to give them over $50 million a year and let the other schools keep like 20, which is, I mean, that's no way to run a league, right? I mean, I realize they're desperate, but come on, that's making a mockery.
Yeah, you can't. The thing I saw was where Texas and Oklahoma would split 50%. And then the rest of the Big 12 would split the other half. You can't do that.
Nah, that seems kind of silly. And And so they're just going to sit back and wait and let the chips fall where they may. And it seems like that is all moving pretty expeditiously. And we're going to have the Super Conference era upon us, it looks like. And everywhere I go, Bear, this weekend, people ask me about this and what do you think? Is this going to be good for Tennessee? Is it going to be good, period, all that stuff? My answer is, I don't know. My gut feeling is no. This isn't going to be good for Tennessee. It's not going to be good for the sport. It's never enough for these people, man. And we let these, no offense, but we let a bunch of Yankee lawyers like Mike Slive and Greg Sankey come in and take over our conference. And now you've got Missouri and Oklahoma in it. And the Texas schools. And that's not the SEC. I don't know what this is we're going to, but it's not the SEC. And I really don't like the pod thing. And I don't want you to think the whole show is going to be negativity. We're going to laugh and joke around here at some point. But just telling you how I feel here. It's good until it's not, right?
Right.
And what I can't help, for some odd reason, I keep thinking about Vanderbilt in all this.
Why?
Because what are we doing here? Like, why are they in this at all? Just because they're grandfathered in?
Yeah.
And
you can't throw them out.
Why not?
I don't know that you could do that legally, could you?
Well, here's the deal. Because we've all heard the rumblings, right, about how maybe the SEC has approached Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State, Clemson, all that stuff about creating a real super league, like going over 20 teams or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Well, I mean, it just feels like that's the way all this stuff is headed anyway, is a true super league. Let's just take the five teams that are in the playoff every year and then add to that a dozen or so teams that are profitable and just get together and we'll just play each other all the time. It'll be on TV every week and that's all people will ever see. That feels like that's the way it's headed. And the reason I bring Vanderbilt up is this. Is they wouldn't be a part of something like that, right?
And I mean, I wouldn't, other than basketball. Well, I don't know. I mean, so the thing about Vanderbilt is they're so good at baseball. And I mean, up until the past few years, they'd been decent and good enough in basketball. Well, they were competitive in the league.
I'm talking about 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the road.
Just talking about King football or?
Yeah, well, just the direction this stuff is headed with all this money.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody would think that Vanderbilt's always going to be a part of that. And the reason I bring that up is this. If Vanderbilt can be kicked out, why can't Tennessee?
We're a plank owner.
So what?
Founding members of the conference.
So what? And the SEC used to be.
You're talking about relegation now.
I'm talking about something new. I'm talking about something completely different. I'm talking about the schools that are making money, that are serious about it, that want to win, that aren't run like we're run, getting together and decide, yeah, we can make $50, $60, $70 million a year playing with Ole Miss and Tennessee and Vandy and South Carolina, or we can make $100 million a year, just play each other all the time, and that'll be it, and we'll have our own playoff. And you think I'm crazy. I know this sounds drastic, right? But I'm telling you, this is where it's headed because I've seen this happen before in Europe, and this is the way it ends, is the biggest schools just play each other all the time and keep all of the stinking money for themselves, and the leftovers get left behind. They still play, and it's cute, and it's fun, but they don't compete at the highest level. And this is sports, right? If we're not competing, then what are we talking about here? So, I'm just saying, could there be a day when there's a 20, 25, 30-team Super League and Tennessee isn't in it? That's my big concern long-term in all this.
I mean, I think at that point, wouldn't they just move to – it'd just be Power Five? I mean, if you're going you know, a 20 team, you know, a 30, 40 team, just take it all the way up and just create, you know, that's when I think it would just separate out. Would have a football commissioner and go that route. Rather, I don't see, I mean, I may be wrong, mark the tape, but I don't see a 20-team SEC.
Well, do you believe the stuff about approaching Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State?
Maybe Florida State. I really don't believe Ohio State and Michigan. I don't see how that would ever happen.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting is the Big Ten, I sense a schism there. At some schism?
Schism.
I sense a break there at some point because Ohio State and Michigan, and I mean, Michigan's fortunate to even be included in this conversation at this point, right, are going to get tired of sharing money with Rutgers and Boston College, or Boston College, ACC, but whoever, the dregs of that league, Illinois, Indiana. And they've already got this. There's this group of people who are like, no, we've got to maintain our academic integrity. You know, Iowa State and Oklahoma State don't really fit in with that, but Baylor does. Let's go get Baylor. Well, what are we like, Baylor? Really? In the Big Ten? So I just wonder at some point, you know, money always wins out in these deals, right? And I just wonder at what point Ohio State, Michigan say, you know what, you guys go ahead and have your little Ivy League with sports thing. We're going to go join up with the school, with the business school, the ones that are interested in maximizing profit. And that might be another 10 plus years down the road. But we were talking about
I just can't go all the way there with you yet. I mean, like I said, I may be wrong, but.
Well, we were talking about the 16 team super conference in the 1990s. And Jackie Sherrill was talking about it. Everybody's like, heck is he smoking 16 team super conference? That's stupid. And here we are. So what's next after that? Because if you think that, like, the SEC is just going to stand pat with 16 teams, all it's going to take is some guy come along and say, oh, yeah, well, every school can make $3 or $4 more million if you add these two schools, and then it's done. So I was playing around with the numbers, and which is dangerous when a known dullard like me gets a hold of a calculator. Who knows what's going to happen? But, like, what do we think is a realistic per-year expectation as far as added revenue for adding Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC?
Gosh, I don't know.
Just in the TV deal. $100 million? That's a lot of money, right? Just to add those two schools. $100 million a year?
I think you could see that.
Okay.
Just think about all the advertising dollars. You know, you got Texas, you know, for Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, you know, all the, you know, the 20 games that you've been talking about.
So let's say $100 million extra per year is added to this $3 billion TV contract that the SEC had previously negotiated with ESPN and ABC. You add $100 million a year to that, you know, over $1 billion over the course of the contract.
Life of the contract, yeah.
$100 million divided by 16 is 6.25. So we're doing all this for an extra $5 or $6 million, unless they can get more than that. And I don't know, like, again, this is where I'm out of my depth here a little bit, but just playing around here, $6 million for an athletics department that has over $100 million budget. It's less than 10% increase right there.
Okay.
So, like, it just seems like we're going to a lot of trouble for a negligible amount of money to them.
Not enough return on investment.
I got a feeling it's probably going to be more than that.
That's like 1 year for Butch Jones.
I mean, that's also, I mean, is that just for the football, the TV contract for football? I mean, that's not.
That's a good question. I think that covers
everything.
Not
counting basketball, right?
I think it covers everything.
It might be higher than $100 million if you're including basketball.
Well, whatever it is, I just – When is it enough? When is it enough? And the answer for these folks, the people, the Sankeys, the Bowlesbys, the Slives, the Danny Whites of the world, is clearly never. Nothing. Nothing is enough. It's never enough. And they're just going to keep bleeding it and bleeding it and bleeding it until we stop watching or stop paying. Somebody else made a good point. If it's 16 members, it would actually be split 17 ways because the SEC office gets a split of all that money too. So take it down a little bit more. I don't know. Like how much if you're Danny White, Bear, and I'm going to put you at the head of that board meeting, the head of that table, right?
Oh, and you good could, Lord.
You walk in there in your $2,000 suit, no tie.
No way I'm wearing a suit. I'm going in there in shorts, freshly laundered gray tee, and Nikes.
Okay, you kick your Nike running shoes up there on the top of the table. How much to sign off on this, bringing Texas and Oklahoma and basically ripping up whatever remains of the fabric of this conference, how much do you have to get to do that?
That's a good question.
Is $6.25 million enough? $5 million enough? $10
million? Oh, yeah. With these guys, hell, they probably do it for $100. Talking about major college administrators.
It's interesting, too, because we're not all in the same boat here, right? I mean, Danny White is the, I've lost count now, fourth athletics director in a row since Dave Hart took over. They've all said, oh, man, we're just out of money. We don't have any money here. We don't have a reserve. Alabama and Georgia have $100 million sitting in their rainy day fund. We've got like $5 million. And we're constantly having to buy out coaches and build facilities, and it's just not enough. They every time. What's the CCR lyric? Every time the donor comes to the door, it looks like a rummage sale. Yeah. They've always got their pockets turned inside out.
Yeah.
And they all tell us they don't have any money, but. It sounds like the schools that quote unquote do have money that are flush with cash, they're like, bring it on. I don't see Alabama or Georgia putting up much of a fuss against this.
No, they love money.
The only thing better than a lot of money is a little more.
Had a little bit. Liked it. Like to have a little bit more, Russ.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back and discuss the pod system since it seems to be trending that way and what that means for Tennessee and the SEC moving forward. Open up the phone lines, too. By the way, Joe Rexroad is our only guest today. He's going to be in the 5 o'clock hour. So if you want to jump in, we are going open lines first 2 hours of the show today. 865-546-8200 is your number. Jake will greet you as you call in. 546-8200. Go ahead and take a shot right now. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
If you own a business. Batten down the hatches. Got a good old
blasted down there.
Yeah. A little rain here and there. It doesn't look. I mean, the skies look threatening. Need the rain out here.
Came a gully washer over here.
Oh, yeah?
First segment.
Good.
Oh, yeah. As it's heading your all's way, it stopped right now. According to the meteorologist on Channel 10, that we're in store for scattered thunderstorms this evening, Russ.
I'm all about it, man. Need some rain.
It's been a while since we've had some good rain.
The backyard at Stately Smith Manor, it's crunchy. It's crunchy back there. It's not good, Bear. I need some agua. By the way, there is a post going around on the Twitter machine, Bear, advocating for. Hold on, I want to bring this up so I don't get it. Where did I see it? Vol Rumor Mill. He's usually on top of these things.
I talked to him this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah, I called in, was hoping Davey would apologize for his behavior on Friday, but and he got me mad again and hung up again.
This is Hayden Cook on Twitter. Has it all figured out, Bear? First 100% capacity game. Heupel's first game as head coach of Tennessee. Recruits need to know we still love this program. I don't know about y'all, but I say it's time. Oh, yeah. Hashtag Checker Kneeland for the Bowling Green game.
Oh, good no. God almighty.
No.
I hate it. That's more Butch Jones gimmickry.
I think it's a good idea. I think we should do it.
Oh, you're always about the gimmicks and the crap.
Here's why.
How about we field a competitive football team? You want people in the stands? You Checker Kneeland people, you dullards.
Okay.
Get them, Bear.
Here's the thing, man.
Touches a nerve, Jake.
We don't have any control over that, okay? We can't, Thanos snap our finger and all of a sudden, boom, we're back. Otherwise, we would have done it a long time ago. We can't control this. I think it's a good idea. This is what I've been saying is for these gimmicks, for the Checker Kneeland, for the uniform stuff, do it for these types of games, man. You shouldn't need to be able to get up for the Georgia and Alabamas and Floridas of the world. And the reason that some people like Bear, I feel like a big reason why they've started to lash back against some of this stuff is because every time we do this, we end up getting our asses kicked, right? And so my thing is, if you're going to Checker Kneeland, you have to do it when there's going to be a lot of people in there, right? You can't do it when there's a bunch of empty seats. So you have to do it when there's a near sellout. I think first game, we're going to win, so you don't have to worry about – I hope we're going to win. You don't have to worry about any sort of, backlash. Oh, we lost because of Checker Kneeland. Why don't we put more time into trying to win instead of the gimmick? Basically what Bear's doing. You don't have to do that. It's Heupel's first game. There's going to be a lot of people watching because it's on a Thursday, and there's going to be a lot of people there. I think this is a perfect time to do it. So I actually agree there. I think we should do it then. You know when we shouldn't do it? In November, when Georgia comes for homecoming, and they're ranked in the top five, and we're wherever we're going to be then. That's when we shouldn't do it. And if you're going to wear the alternate uniforms, you should wear them against Tennessee Tech or South Alabama or something like that because you're going to win. It gets the players hyped up for a game that they might be conditioned to overlook, and it generates some excitement for a non-exciting game and might actually put some more people in the seats. I think the you wear your traditional stuff and you don't rely on gimmicks when you're playing the big games, right? Because they're big games. You should be fired up, and fans are going to go to see the big game anyway. So I actually agree with that. Houston says it should be a blowout for the good guys. I think I might be for it. You are for it, Houston. You're all for it. You're all in.
I'm not. I think we just wear our uniforms, go out there and play football. I want to completely wash every bit of Butch Jones in the past, all the stuff, from Dooley to Gump. Get rid of it all. Get back to basics.
If you're wanting to de-gumpify the program, then you should be for this kind of stuff because he was exactly what you just said, would just show up and play football.
Yeah, but he was an idiot. He couldn't coach. Well, coach his way out of a wet paper bag.
I think that's more the reason that we've sucked for a while is the idiot angle of it.
I just got so burnt out during the Butch Jones era. I'm just tired of the gimmicks. I did just see something else on Twitter, Roger Hoover on Twitter. Tennessee's game with Alabama in Tuscaloosa on October 23rd will be Alabama's homecoming game.
Have we dropped that level?
Oh, yeah.
We're now a homecoming game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Sure. Disappointing, but not surprising.
That hurts.
Go to the phones. Westchester is up first today. What up, Westchester?
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm a little confused. And Bear, I promise this is not a shot at Catholic for once in my life, but I'm not going to name any names, but how is one of the local high school coaches a better recruiter than Butch Jones was?
Talking about Matt Lowe over at Pal?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? And what's the deal on that? If you transfer from private to public, do you not have to sit out a year?
So apparently, from what I've been told and what I understand, that Marlon Walls is his guardian, and they moved to Knoxville. They didn't just move the kid. He is eligible to transfer and be immediately eligible.
For folks who don't know what we're talking about, Walter Nolan, who is one of the top two or three players, I believe, in the country, regardless of position.
Calling him the number one.
Massive defensive lineman, has moved to East Tennessee with Marlon Walls, who apparently is his guardian, the former Vol defensive lineman, and has enrolled and been cleared and eligible to play at Powell High School just up the road from Neyland Stadium this fall.
13 miles.
I'm trying not to get excited, Bear. I'm trying not to get my hopes up, but man, I mean,
that would be a big get, Russ.
Well, and just from perception, if he's dominant and everything, that'll obviously help a lot, but all this, you can't recruit in-state, elite players don't want to come here no more. Like, I don't care if there was some weird extenuating circumstance where he moved to your backyard. You sign one of those guys. I mean, that he would be, I guess, the highest rated player we've signed since what? Bryce Brown?
Trey Smith.
Oh, he's higher than Trey Smith. Trey Smith wasn't even a five-star, according to some of these services.
What?
Yeah.
I thought I read somewhere it was Trey Smith. You know what else this is? I didn't realize this. Somebody just texted me. Walter Nolan apparently is involved with the brand new and burgeoning B Mays football elite programs.
I mean, that should have.
If Bobby Mays gets that football thing fired up, and what's happened in basketball starts happening in football, I don't see how we don't put a damn statue of Bobby Mays somewhere on campus.
That should have occurred to us a long time ago.
That Bobby might have had something to do with it.
Well, to get Bobby involved. Yeah. And on the football side of things, the way he is.
Goon Wrangler.
Yeah. A what?
Goon Wrangler.
Oh.
Goons. You want the goons.
I think.
Bring me all the goons. Just crazy good football players.
Yeah.
How
about
Mays?
Some nice young men who are interested in furthering their academic and athletic career at the University of Tennessee? How about that?
That's good. I mean, now, honestly, let me ask you this. If this were to come to fruition, If we get it rolling, if due to Bobby's influence in football and basketball, I mean, he's got to be on the Mount Rushmore of important people in Tennessee athletics history. How much he's done for his university. It's a gift that keeps on giving. King Bobby Mays.
Yeah, we'll work on the whole volunteers thing in the basketball tournament. But everything else is going just swimmingly.
That was rough. Westchester, you still on, man? I feel like we just kind of pushed you to the wayside. No,
yeah, I'm still here.
Go for it, Westchester. Sorry, man.
No, I just try not to talk over you guys. Going back to the Checker Kneeling thing, I mean, it's obvious to me that you can't do it anytime after mid-October because, especially with night games, you get into people having to wear jackets, and people aren't going to spend that kind of money on outerwear to fit that model.
Good point.
But I thought that should have gone the wayside a long time ago, and I'm gonna win Bowling Green, huh? So we're already starting with the barometer thing. So, Bear, I gotta kind of call you out. So, where are we now? What's your preseason as of today? How many wins does Tennessee have? Six.
Six. Yeah, six.
Are you sure the barometer
isn't
broken? Is there not enough mercury in that thing or something?
No, it's too early. Don't worry. It'll be seven by mid July. And it'll be 8 or 9 by the time we kick off.
It's late July right now, Westchester. Do we need to get you a calendar?
Mid-August. He'll be at 7. By kickoff, he'll be at 8. It's the way he does it every year, and we love him for it. But, it's just the way it's going to go. But, you say we're going to beat Bowling Green. I remember people saying the same thing about, like Georgia State and BYU and, you know, all these other crappy teams that came in here and showed us how to play football. Speaking of BYU, they're going to be the last holdout, aren't they, for the Super Conference thing, because they don't want anyone telling them they have to play on Sundays, right?
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
they don't play. If you go look at their baseball schedule. If you think I'm kidding, yeah. They don't play on Sundays. They don't play anything on Sundays.
No, I believe you. Yeah, I mean they basically said they weren't going to play in NCAA tournament games in basketball on Sundays.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it seems
Bunch
like that should be
weirdos.
It seems like that should be a pretty easy thing to work around if you're a conference that wants to bring them in. But I mean, this is an opportunity, I would say. I mean, it's not like they've always been independent, right? They were in the WAC for the longest time, or the Mountain West or something. They only went
WAC.
Independent.
They were one of the original members of the WAC. They were in the WAC when they won their national championship in football. I can't remember what year it was.
84 maybe.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
If this is kind of a crazy Westchester thing, I know I'm all over the board here, but I got a lot on my mind. It's been a long weekend. If we go with the 64, and everyone goes with four divisions, as some people are prognosticating right now, does that become the first two rounds of the expanded playoffs as the win your conference championship? So you don't have to add games onto the regular season.
Maybe you lose the conference championship game, you move into the losers bracket. I don't know, man. I mean, that's another big problem in all this is there's just not – it doesn't seem like there's a path to some sort of equitable scheduling system.
You go 8-8, you play your 7, you rotate your other 2, you rotate 2, you don't have a permanent, and you play everybody in 4 years in your division, in your conference. And I mean, it works. It's just too simple and not flowery enough and pretty enough for some people.
Well, everybody, the thing we keep seeing in the pods for Tennessee is you're in there with Vandy and Auburn and Alabama, and the thinking, I'm sure, from the conference's standpoint is, well, you want to have two strong schools in every pod, and we're not looked at as a strong school right now, and fair enough. But if we ever, quote-unquote, get back, then all of a sudden – you've got, I mean, it's not fair to anybody, right? It's 10 years from now, if Saban's retired and Tennessee's managed to unscrew itself, and you've got Tennessee, Auburn, and Alabama bludgeoning each other every single year and splitting all those games, I don't see how that's good for any three of those schools.
Well, Russ, you're not looking at it. I don't think you're looking at it through the right angle. I think Tennessee finally has a way to get away from Alabama. People think that it's too easy of a conference, but, and hear me out on this, you put Kentucky, Vandy, Tennessee, and South Carolina in a conference. And the reason you do that is so you've got Florida, Auburn, Georgia, and Alabama. And Georgia will play Alabama every year if they get to keep Auburn and Florida, their two biggest rivals. I think that's what they have to do to keep their rivals. So they're the only ones.
You're saying put Tennessee, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina in a pod?
Makes the most geographical sense.
Okay, but that's never going to happen. So, I mean,
well, should.
Someone's got to play Alabama. So you might as well reward the other good team in that conference or that pod for doing it. You give Georgia the two games that they want to keep on their schedule every year. They're the only one in the conference that I can think of off the top of my head.
I'm hesitant.
Two every year.
Excuse me. When everybody says the games that so-and-so wants to play, I'm hesitant about that because everything I read, and this is really about to get on my last nerve, everything I read or hear about this for the past week has been, oh, Tennessee, they want to play Alabama. They want that. And yet, I host a sports radio show in Knoxville, Tennessee. Been around Tennessee fans all my life. I can't find one that isn't in favor of moving that game, of not playing Alabama every single year. So whenever I hear, well, Georgia, they just want to play Auburn and Auburn and Florida every year, I don't know about that because I know what everybody says about Tennessee fans wanting to play who we want to play is not true. So I don't know. If I'm Georgia, I don't particularly want to play Florida and Auburn every single year if other schools are not going to be tasked with that difficult a road.
You already do.
They do, but I just want to make sure that everybody else has a hard row to hoe as well. And if I'm anybody else, I'm looking at, I mean, what's that going to look like if we're in a pod? And again, this is never going to happen, but we're in a pod with Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina. Come on, man. It'd be a laughing
stock. Who the hell do you put Alabama with then to make it fair? You can't make it fair with Alabama. So go ahead and tell me how you do it instead of telling me how wrong that everyone else is.
If they go to the pod thing, it's going to be Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. I guarantee you.
Yeah. I mean, the thinking is two quote-unquote power teams per pod, right? And two not power teams. Tennessee fans don't want to hear this, but it's just – this is the truth. We're not a power team, man. If you got a 16-team league and there's eight good teams and eight not great teams, we're in the not so great eight.
That's all I want, the divisions. 8-8. Go to 10-game schedule.
There's no great way to
Alabama,
do it.
Alabama, Auburn,
but that's
over
better.
To the East.
There's no good way to do it, but that's a better way.
Yeah, so Missouri packing over to the West and bring in Auburn and Alabama into the East. That's how you do it.
And you play all seven divisional opponents?
Play all seven and then rotate three out of the other division?
They're never going 10 games. They don't even want to – Sankey, every time he talked about it last week, said there's no appetite to go to 9 games. So they're not going to go to 10.
Yeah, they ought to go to 10, especially after last year. That was a lot of fun last year.
I feel you. It was a lot of fun last year.
Well, I mean, other Alabama sucked, but it was pretty cool.
Alabama appeared to be having a good time.
They
enjoyed themselves.
Have a good time. But right now, with the way things have been, with the way our schedule is, for us to win a national championship, we pretty much would have to beat Alabama two or three times in one season.
Yeah. Yeah. You could
have to
beat them
in the regular
three times.
Season, have to beat them in the SEC championship. And then, even then, I would imagine we'd probably have to face them in the playoffs.
Quick timeout. Westchester, thanks for the call, man. We got to roll. Stay with us. Back to wrap up hour number one. It's flying by this afternoon. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio up next.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Josh says, right here, Russ, I want to play Alabama every year, and I doubt I'm alone. Well, Josh, and I mean this in the kindest and most non-judgmental way possible, but you, sir, are a sadist. Just because you're freaky, don't bring the rest of us into your deal here, man. What do you want to play Alabama every year? What do you watch that game in a leather gimp suit? With a red rubber ball gag in your mouth? Play Alabama every year? Like Saban's your own personal dominatrix? That's not fun. You enjoy that? When was the last time anybody enjoyed watching Tennessee play Alabama? Even that year that it was almost kind of sort of close when JG, I mean, that was the most painful one of all.
Probably the last time we beat him.
2006.
2009 was pretty fun.
2006. I was 26 years old, Bear. 26 years old. Oh, I was a young man. Barely any gray hair.
I was in my 30s still.
I had a lot of gray hair. But I was in shape. I wasn't even a dad yet. Both of my kids, neither of them have been alive since we've beaten Alabama. Newlywed, world at my fingers. Living in an apartment in West Knoxville. Oh, I didn't know how good I had it.
You lived in an apartment when you were married?
Yeah, first year or so.
No.
Eric says, should we get Bobby Mays involved in baseball as well? I don't think so, Eric. I think we're doing all right there. I think Tony Vitello's got it on lockdown. I think we're good. But sure, why not? B Mays Baseball.
B Mays Elite.
Let's go. Get him involved too. Brian says there won't be a time when Tennessee won't be a part of it. We're talking about Super Conference. Tennessee has too much money and name brand. Also, look at the Tennessee market from Memphis, Nashville to Knoxville. Too big of a market to leave them out. Yeah, that's a pretty good point. I just want to be relevant again, Bear.
Me too, Russ.
865-546-8200. Your number. We will get Jake Miller in here at your top four at four coming up. Next, the Olympics kicked off. Bear, were you into that? I mean, this is your time. Like,
I've had a hard time getting into it.
Oh, God. All you do is sit here and tell me how great the Olympics are.
Well, they are. We're dominating in the pools. The smell of chlorine's in the air.
No, we're not. Ledecky got it handed to her last night. I tuned in for
about
that.
Titmus.
What?
Titmus. The girl from, I think, from Australia.
Yeah. Her coach is up there going full Bruce Pearl in the – I thought he was spazzing out.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, we're getting warmed up. You know, we'll probably start kicking ass definitely when track and field get started. So, you know, don't fret, Russ.
Basketball team got beat by the Frenchies yesterday.
We are not good at international basketball because you can't take eight steps like you can in the NBA.
Our women's soccer team lost to Sweden.
Do you root against them, honestly?
I root against both the men's basketball and the women's soccer team. It's funny, man. I guess this just happens when you get older, but I remember when the 92 Dream Team. Like,
hold
I was,
on a second. Jake, why do you always cut the Olympic music off?
Because we got to go. We got to go. All right, stay with us. We'll circle back here. We're out of time. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
The Drive.
Bankruptcy. Divorce.